I like a rolling pulpit. If you want to preach over here, you can preach over here. You can come back over here. If they're sleeping in the back row, you go right back there. This is nice. I'm going to take that back home. A rock and rolling preacher here. We're going to go to the book of Numbers. I do enjoy coming to this part of the world. This is my second time here. And enjoy the fellowship with your pastor and his wife and the other men of God that God has led here to work with him. And what a privilege to be here and privilege to call them friends. And privilege to know some of you people that when we were here, my wife is not with me this time. She always travels with me. We've been married for 34 years and God has given us 5 children. And my 2 older boys are now working and pastoring in Charlevoix, Michigan. Michigan is shaped like a mitten, and I pastored way up here in the top near the Mackinac Bridge in the Mackinac Straits. I pastored there for 26 years, and God called me down to the middle of the state to the church that you saw the picture of, to Parker Memorial Baptist Church, just 9 months ago. For 26 years, I lived, raised my family in the north. My children were born and raised there, most of them. And then some were born in Lansing. I was in Lansing earlier in my ministry. Went to Charlevoix, 2 girls. The girl that was playing the piano, Joanna, she is my daughter, my second daughter. And she was born in Charlevoix as well as Esther. But my boys stayed in Charlevoix to pastor the church there. They both went to college, graduated, came back to work with me. And then God led us back home to work with my father. My father is the senior pastor at the church. He's 86 years old. He's been pastoring that church for 59 years. He still preaches. Last Sunday he preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. And today he flew to North Carolina to preach a morning and evening service there. He'll be in another church on Monday and Tuesday. Flies back on Wednesday for our midweek service. He'll fly the next Monday to Arkansas to preach in Arkansas. So he is traveling a lot, but that's what I'm there for. But I'm over here, so we're both gone today. But that was part of the plan. He knew I already had this commitment to come over here, so it's a joy. But I'm glad y'all come to church to get in and not get out. Amen? Come to get all you can and enjoy the fellowship and the preaching. Now, he said you normally get out around 12:30. Is that right? Now, I've never preached with a clock behind me before. It's usually that way. So it reminds me of a preacher was preaching one time. Oh, there's another one over there. Good. A preacher was preaching one time. He had a visitor come into the church. And the visitor evidently was used to getting out at noon. And so the preacher was preaching, it got past noon, about quarter after, and the man hollered out, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" The preacher didn't know what he was saying. He wasn't preaching on Egypt or Israel or anything. It was in the Gospels. About 12:30, the man said, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" Kind of bothered the preacher, but he just kind of wanted to finish his message. And about 12:45, he's still preaching away. And the man hollers out again, "Preach on, Pharaoh!" Finally, the pastor kind of got a little upset, closed his Bible, a little flustered, and dismissed in prayer. And was standing at the door, and as the man walked out, he said, "Why were you heckling me? Why were you telling me, 'Preach on, Pharaoh'?" He goes, "Well, Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go either." And so, so anyway, another man had a habit of sleeping in church. And so he took a little piece of paper and he wrote a little poem on there and he pinned it to the back of his arm. And he would put his arm around his wife and nod off. Well, the note was for the people behind him. And the note, the little poem said something like this: "Now I lay me down to sleep. The sermon is long and the subject is deep. If he gets done before I wake, please give me a gentle shake. I know that sometimes preachers preach and people are, they're not listening. It's going in one ear, not the other. And they're often thinking about what's going to go on in the afternoon and everything. And I don't know, in Michigan, there's a lot of wild game. There's bear and there's deer and there's elk and moose and there's all kinds of big game animals to hunt. And a pastor was out hunting with his men one day, and they decided they would all meet back at the truck and have lunch together. Then they'd go back out hunting for the afternoon. Well, they all got there, and they were standing there with their rifles, and a nice big 10-point buck crosses the road down from them, and they all saw it at the same time and shot at the same time and dropped him. And they thought, oh, my goodness. And so they go up there to see, you know, where it was shot, and then they got in an argument because the pastor said, well, I think I shot it. And the other men said, well, I know I shot it. I never missed a deer in my life. And they kind of got in a disagreement of who shot the deer. Well, about that time, an officer came by, and he said, it looks like you have a little problem here. Whose deer is this? He goes, well, that's what we're discussing. We don't know whose deer it is. The pastor thinks it's his, and we think it's ours, and we all shot at the same time. They said, I know you understand wild game, officer. If you would look at it, maybe you could tell us whose it is. He looked at it for about 5 seconds. He goes, I know who shot it. It was the pastor. They said, well, how would you know that? He goes, well, only one bullet hit it, and it went in one ear and out the other. So, I hope that's not the case today. I hope the message would go into your ear and into your heart. And that's where we want it to go. Let's pray. Father, we do love you, Lord, today. What a privilege it is to be a child of God, to know that if when we die, we're going to heaven. And there's a peace that no one can shake out of my soul this morning, that is the true fact of my life. When I received you as my Lord and Savior by asking you to come in, wasn't something that I did, wasn't something that I took in by way of my mouth or any other way. It was something that I, in my heart, believed. And Lord, you saved my soul. And I pray there's someone here this morning that doesn't have that assurance. Lord, we're not a guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day. Lord, we could die today. And Lord, if I were to die today, I know for sure I'm going to be in the arms of God. And Lord, it's not for what I did, but Lord, for what you did for me on Calvary. Lord, bless the message. Use it for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the book of Numbers in chapter 10, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29, I want to read you a story. Now this is the story of the children of Israel, God's people, were leaving Egypt. They're now out, into the wilderness. They've been out quite for some time. And Moses was leading them. And it come time where a man by the name of Hobab. Now, we'll read this in verse number 29 of Numbers chapter 10. Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us. Moses is talking to Hobab. Now, get the picture. Hobab is a Midianite. They're close to the land of Midian now. So Midian is Hobab is making a choice. Is he going to go with the children of God, or is he going to go back home to the land of Midian? Evidently, he had come with Moses down there to help the children depart from Egypt. All right. So Moses talks to him. We are journeying unto the place which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto them, this is what Hobab's answer was. I will not go. But I will depart unto my own land, and to my kindred. And he said, Moses said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. In other words, you will be a blessing if you go with us because you know this land. We're close to your country. We're close to your people. We won't even have to watch where we're going because you know. Well, verse 32 says, And it shall be that if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, he was emphatic, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. In other words, as God blesses us, His blessings will be upon you, Hobab, if you just go with us all the way to the promised land. Moses is pleading here. Come with us to the promised land. Hobab, for what it looks like, was relative of Moses. Moses, remember when he fled from Egypt earlier on in his life? He went to the land of Midian, and that's where he married his wife. And so what it looks like here, Hobab may have been a brother-in-law. Now, I'm not positive about that, but it was some relative because he traveled with Moses to Egypt. Now he's coming back home. This Midianite, of course, the Midianites were part of Abraham's family, if you understand. Not from Sarah, because that's where Isaac came from, but from Keturah, another wife of Abraham. And so they were related to Moses, and somehow, so Moses, in his plea to Hobab, was simply, come with us. Come thou with us. Would you please go with us to the promised land? We're heading to a wonderful place. A beautiful place, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. God has prepared us a place in the land of Canaan. Hobab, why don't you go the rest of the way with us? Please don't go back home. God's got some promises for us. Don't do what you say you're going to do. Would you just? He's pleading with him. I guess if you want to title the message, you can entitle it, Come With Us. Come With Us. To one that may be here today, maybe you've got another route plan. You've got another idea what you want for your eternity or your life. The things you are familiar with, the life that you're familiar with. You're not willing to make the change. You're gonna work your own way with your family's traditions. If you work your family traditions or you work your family religion, you may not make it to the land of promise. We've got to come God's way. We have to come with God's people. Because the Bible says, There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And my encouragement to you is to come with us. Would you come? Notice here, they were on a journey. They were journeying back home. Really, they had been in Egypt for several years, and now they're going back home to the land of promise as God had told them to. It started when they left Egypt. When they left Egypt, God sent them out into the wilderness. You know, they wandered for 40 years, if you know the story. You think about when they were in Egypt, the Bible says that God heard their cry. They were in bondage. They were stuck in the system of the world of Egypt. Down in the slime pits of Egypt, Pharaoh had been hard on them. The taskmasters were whipping them with whips every day. And it is said that the people of God cried out for help. Oh God, would you please save us from this world? Save us from Egypt. Save us from these taskmasters. And he sent someone to set them free. Sent a missionary. Sent Moses. Sent a man of God. Sent a servant of God to give them the message of deliverance. And so, when that deliverer came with the message from God, they had to make a choice. Would they leave the world of Egypt, or would they stay there? A choice to turn away from the worldly the tyrants of that day or that they were tormenting them. But you know what they decided? They decided to follow Moses. They decided to receive the message that Moses had. Hey, Christian, Believer, do you remember the day when you were down in the slime pits of this old Egypt, this old world that you were in, when God found you? And a messenger came one day of deliverance. You said, I'll go with God. The devil had been hard on you and the world had never ever treated you right. But somewhere in God's mercy, God sent a deliverer with a message. It may have been Brother Ledbetter, maybe these other men that are here, maybe some soul winner here that taught you the ways of Christ and the ways of salvation. And you saw your situation and God sent a deliverer. And you heard that God could set you free. And He set you. Remember that day? Say amen. Oh, He set you free. I'm saying to those that may be here this morning that have not been set free from your Egypt, come with us. We're going to a promised land. We're going to a land that's full with milk and honey. We're going to the celestial city called heaven, glory as you may call it. You can make your choice this morning. I made my choice. I trusted Christ at a young boy at an age of 11. I'm just saying you can trust Him too. And you can be on your way to the promised land. As Moses said, we're going to a journey to a place that the Lord said He would give us. We have a place prepared. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas said, how can we know the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Come thou with us. We're going to that place with mansions. Going to that wonderful place called heaven. Send a friend here today without Christ as your personal Savior. You've been in the slime pits way too long of this world. The message is clear today. Come thou with us. The Lord has a wonderful place prepared for those who are prepared. Are you prepared this morning? The devil hasn't treated you too good, has he? He's taken, and the devil don't give back. He'll take everything you've got. I'm saying he's left you starved and cheated. I say, come with us. Come with us. David said, God heard his cry and he brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set his feet upon a rock, and he established his goading, and God put a new song in his heart and his life, and even praise unto God with his lips. Hobab could have come on board. It doesn't say really what he did in the outcome. But it did, in all indications, he said, he goes, I will not go. Whether he changed his mind or not, I don't know. But verse 30, he said, I will not go. Come with us, Hobab. No, Moses. I will not go. I'm saying today, please don't say that. Don't say, I don't want to go to heaven. Don't say that. Because there's, come with us. Because it says, in verse 29, it talks about He'll do you good. God will do you good. Come. What does it say? Verse 29, the last part of it. He said, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. God had some wonderful plans. God had some promises for the people of God. Food and water and for the trip and tents and houses to live in when they got there, and a place to worship in, a church, clothes for their backs, the Bible says He provided for them, shoes for their feet. He said, the Lord has spoken good to Israel. I say the same promises for Israel and the same promise for us in the New Testament are the same promises that God can give you. Amen. God's promises good. God will provide for His own. Israel had come out of Egypt. They didn't have anything. They were slaves. They basically came out with the clothes on their back is all they had. Some unleavened bread that they'd baked the night before. Some gold and silver that the Egyptians gave them as they were leaving the country. When they chose to leave, when they chose to trust an all-knowing and all-providing God, it was a step of faith. Here's the man of God. Moses says, come, and God will do you good. He told that to the whole congregation of Israel, over probably 3 million people. There's a bunch of people. And they all step out by faith saying, Moses, if you're the man of God, and we believe that God sent you, we're going to go with God. And it's a step of faith. Don't try to figure it out. It's not here that you figure out salvation. It's right here by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Trust in all-knowing God. It's a step of faith, and He can do you the same and provide for you as He did for Israel. I put my faith in Him as a young boy, as I said, and He saved my soul. He gave me life. He gave me a wonderful family. He gave me a wonderful wife and father and brothers and a wonderful mother. And now my own children are serving God. It was a step of faith. God's taking care of me. Doesn't look like I've missed a meal, does it? Very well furbished here this morning. Now, I didn't come over and get some of those treats because I'm thinking I better not eat any of those before I preach. I might just fall asleep on y'all. But God's been good. I've never missed paying a bill. I'm not rich. By the farthest means, I'm not rich. But I've never missed God not taking care of me. And He'll do the same for you. Oh, He said He'd supply all your need according to His riches in glory. David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Having food and raiment, let's be content, because the Heavenly Father knows what we need. There's the promises of God. Hobab, with the choice of following God's people and following, going God's way, it was a guaranteed thing, because when you have God's Word on something, it's as good as gold. You have God's Word on something, God said He's going to provide for you. God spoke good, and God will do the same for you. How much better do you think Hobab could have been in the land of Midian? Going back to the land of Midian, I don't think as good as God could take care of him, that's for sure. He could have gotten back to Midian and just missed out on everything God had prepared for him. Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. Hey, Hobab, come with us. Friend, if you're lost without Christ, come with us. Hobab said, I will not go, there in verse 30. I'm going back to my country. I'm going back to my people. It sounds good, Moses. I appreciate the thought, Moses, but no thanks. I'm going to do it my own way. What a mistake that must have been for Hobab. I will not go. I think the hardest thing for a believer is when you witness to a friend and you witness to a relative, somebody that you dearly love, and they flat out refuse you. They're not rejecting you, by the way. They're rejecting God's plan. They're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. It's you think about Moses could only promise him the promises of God and all the good provisions that were going to come from God by simply Hobab just coming on. Everything he had was going to come and be supplied to Hobab and the children of Israel by the Savior. Now, we don't have a special edge on eternal blessings. Your pastor cannot dispel blessings and give you anything, really, but the Word of God. But we know who God is, and we know that He promises His people provision. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. The Bible says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And as He supplied oil for the widow at Zarephath, He can supply my need and your need. And He's promised to feed and care and give a home in the promised land more than anything. If we had nothing down here but a home in heaven, it'd be worth it. Please don't say no. Please don't say, I will not go. I will not receive Christ. God's been working on your heart for some time. He's been knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I will come into him. He wants to come in. You say, I will not go. Well, to say you're not going to go with God's people and God's message is like saying, I want to go to hell. I want to burn forever. I want to be with my friends. I had a guy tell me that one time. I want to go to hell because that's where my friends are all going to be at. I says, friend, sir, you will not know your friends because hell is a place of darkness. There's no partying going on in hell. There's only two destinies for Mahobab. It was either the promised land or the land of Midian. There's only two destinies for you. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell, my friend. Make that choice. I will go. Yes, I will choose Him. I want to go to heaven. His ways are best. His ways are wonderful. Don't be as Hobab. I will depart. I will go. No one's going to tell me I'm going to go to hell. Nobody's going to do that. I'm not. This book will. God's Word will. This book says in Revelation that the names that are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write that. God wrote that for you so you could make sure by trusting Him your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our Lord tells us to the lost that choose to say no, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hobab was going to miss out on all the blessings that God's people were going to enjoy. He was included. Everybody's included. He said, well, that's not for me. He must not have been part of the chosen ones. No. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's not just a certain group. It's not a certain nation or a certain nationality or a certain if you have money or don't have money. No. Come all unto me, all you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm saying that he was included. He could have come. Moses invited him to come. It was free. It wouldn't cost Hobab anything. Salvation is free. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Everybody, hey, you don't have to miss out. Your friends that you love, I would tell them today and tomorrow, don't miss out on going to heaven. Be a witness. The song goes, the Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. Tell it wherever you go. It's free. He's rich in all that would call upon Him. Then let's look at Moses' plea after he said, I will not go. Moses says, leave us not. Please don't leave. God's going to do good things for us. And God's going to do good things for you. Please, don't make the mistake, Hobab. Please. He's begging him not to go. Moses told him of the blessings of the promised land. He told him of the provisions of the promised land. Leave us not. Please don't leave without accepting this offer. Don't leave today, my friend, without accepting the offer of eternal life to the Savior. Don't leave and go back to this old world and the ways. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are best. I'm going to figure out my own way. Friend, you've got to go by God's way. Trust His Word. He said He'll do the same for you as He's going to do for them. It's what He said there in verse 32. What goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. The same promises. If you just come, don't break our hearts, Hobab. I've watched people come to church. I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look that old, but anyway. I've watched people all my life come into church, hear the message of salvation, and then walk out and never get hooked up with God. Never get the message into their heart and their life and stay with the devil's crowd and live and die without Christ and go out into eternity. And it breaks our heart. Don't leave this morning without the Lord. Moses pleaded with him, and as we would plead with our friends and with our loved ones. Let me encourage you, Christian, don't give up pleading. Every day, every moment, every hour, every time you give them contact, encourage them to come to Christ. You say, well, they've turned me down. Maybe the next time they won't. Maybe the next time. Let me encourage you. Don't get up. Give up. Don't quit telling them that God is good and God has a wonderful future plan for us. It's a beautiful place. I read about heaven in the Bible. I look forward. I have a mother already on the other side. I've got a brother and sister since the last time I was here. My brother, just a year and a half ago, went home to be with the Lord. And 3 years ago, my sister died with cancer as well. I long to get there because I want to see my family again. There's a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. There's a great song, we've sung it, maybe you sing it over here. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. To our bountiful Father above, we offer this tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. Oh, in the sweet by and by. Are you ready for the sweet by and by? Or does not it look too good for you, my friend? Don't leave us today without the Savior going with you. Invite Him into your heart and your life. Because verse 31 talks to us about how Hobab could have been a blessing. He says, I pray thee, verse 31, for as much as thou knowest, we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Hobab, if you stay with us, we won't even have to worry about having guides and spies go ahead of us, because you know. Moses knew that Hobab knew that country and didn't live far from there. He knew every valley. He knew every mountain. He knew every watering hole. He knew where the shade trees were. He knew where the shortcuts. He knew where maybe the robbers and the dangers were. And God could have used him to be a blessing to the people of God. What a great help Hobab must have been able to have been. But it seemed like he was selfish. He wanted it his way. He wanted to go his route. I'm going home. Thanks for the offer, Moses, but I'm getting out of here. This salvation thing, this deliverance thing, this promised land thing is hocus pocus. It's not for me. I'm going back to Midian. I'm going back to my family. See, listen, I preached to the young people last night, and the title of the message was, they were born to serve the Lord. They were born to serve God. And every one of you were born to serve God as well. And God has a purpose for your life. You could be a blessing to somebody else, bringing them into the kingdom. You could be a blessing to this church and provisions and maybe your talents or maybe whatever God has for you. Something that you can do. And some of you have found the Lord. Some of you have found your gift. Whatever God has for you to do. And it's wonderful. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're a witness. Maybe you're a mechanic. You can work on the church bus. Or you, when God gives you a building, you can work on the building. Some of you come in and set up the chairs and set up the books and bring all the food in. And everybody has a different thing that they do that they're a blessing to the work of God. Hobab could have been used of God and a great, great blessing. Now, if he went home, listen to me. If he did go home at the judgment, what will he have to show for God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He went home, he maybe had his job. What's your job going to have for you in eternity other than what you did for God with it? Your home, your hobbies, whatever. It'd all be lost in eternity. Everything will be left behind. Wood, hay, and stubble, as the Scripture tells us. Hobab, all he had to do is accept the invitation and join up with God's people and go all the way home with them. What a blessing he could have been. Find his purpose in his life. The fulfillment of God's plan in his life. Maybe he looked at the route they were going to go, and he thought, it looks too hard. It's too hard to be a Christian. It's too hard to follow God. It's going to be too hard to go with God's people. I think it's a little bit easier. No, you've got it wrong. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen? The way we go in with God's people is blessings and joy and His provisions, and there's heaven to boot. I like that. He didn't pray about it. He said, I'm just not going to go. He didn't desire to take the shortcut. He didn't feel like it was his leading to join up with the group or stay with the group. Hey, friend, the way of Christ is easy. The Bible says that His burdens are light. In Acts chapter 2, it says, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And they were added. They joined with the group. They joined with the church. And he needed to trust God. And and go all the way with God, all the way. Go all the way with this holy people from Egypt to the... Join up. Actually, Acts 7 tells us it was called the church in the wilderness. He should have joined with the church in the wilderness and joined up and went all the way knowing that this was God's plan for his life. He had this purpose for him. And as Moses said, he's going to be good to us, Hobab. He's going to be good to you too. And I can say God has supplied every need that I've ever needed. And as God has been good to this preacher boy, God will be good to you just the same. God has blessed us more than we could even imagine. He will do the same for you. Maybe Hobab just thought, I don't feel worthy, Moses. I don't feel worthy. I'm not in the line of Sarah. I'm in the line of Keturah. Abraham, yes, is our grandfather, but I just don't feel worthy because I'm not like them. Or I'm not like... No, he's rich in the all that would call upon him. Doesn't matter your life, your nationality, or who you may be, or who you may not be, or what you have or what you don't have. He's wonderful and He's an equal loving God. Are you listening to me? God commanded His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended His love. He gave His love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. When our Lord went to the crucifixion, you know the story of the crucifixion? They dragged Him, religious people who hated God, who hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They took Him before the council. They put Him on a stump and they took Him and they blindfolded Him and they smote Him in the face and said, "Hey, tell us who we are. Prophesy if you're God or not." He could have told them their name, where they lived, and what they ate for dinner the night before. He knew everything about them. They took the cat of nine tails and whipped Him till the blood and his in their intestines just were falling out of His body. They ripped it. That's what they did. You see, why did He do that? Because He loved us. Would you quote John 3:16 with me if you know it? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this." He was going to lay His life down for us on the cross. You know how they whipped Him. They put the crown of thorns upon His head. They took a reed and they smote Him on the head, and you imagine the blood coming down and the spit when they spit Him in the face. Imagine all the agony that He went. He did all that for you. He did all that for us. He did that for every sinner in this whole world, that you could just today receive Him. They took Him and He carried that cross out to the Calvary. They laid that cross down. There was other two criminals with Him. They probably were wrestling those criminals down to... probably took five or six soldiers just to hold them down so they could nail those criminals. When it came time for our Lord, I believe, because He said He's laid down His life, they probably laid that cross down and they probably just looked at Him because He was so calm. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world." He was going to die for the sins of all man. I believe, sirs, that He just sat down and laid Himself down, put His arm out here and His arm out there, and they nailed Him to the cross. And they took Him up from that cross and they lifted it up and dropped Him into the hole. The Bible says all of His joints came loose. And He stood there in agony. Oh, He laid down His life. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. Come! Come go with us. Come receive Christ as your Savior. Come on to Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come with us. We have a great God. We have a great Savior. We have a great peace. We have a wonderful trip ahead of us. Don't be as Hobab and say, "Pastor, I will not go. I will not go." And today, as we preach this message some 3,000 years later, if Hobab didn't end up going with him, because it never gives any indication that he did. Hobab undoubtedly sure wishes he would have. Because if Hobab would have died without a Savior, Hobab would have died and went to hell. The world has nothing to offer. The land of Midian had nothing to give him for eternal life. Come, go with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good. He's spoken good. I love that song, "It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." He saved me nearly 45 years ago. He gave me purpose in my life. Gave me something to live for. Gave me something to die for. I'm so glad I chose Him. Is anybody sorry that they're saved? Nobody. Nobody's ever got sorry that they, "Oh, I wish I never got saved." No. It's a wonderful trip. Come. Come go with us. If you don't have that assurance in your heart today, that if you died of a heart attack this afternoon, you could be gone. Before we leave this building, an ambulance could come and pick you up and carry you dead out of this building. You say, "I sure hope not." We don't know that. Are we guaranteed tomorrow? No, we're not. My friend, come with us. Come with us. He said, what do I need to do? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one of us are good enough to get there. There's nothing we could ever do to get to heaven. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if we could get there and say, "I got there because I did this," or "I gave that much money to charity, and I gave this to the church," and you could brag that you got there. But what if there was someone that couldn't go there because they didn't have the means to do that? That wouldn't be an equal, loving God. It's not what we can give, what we can do. It's what He's done for us. Please get that. So there's none righteous, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No sin can enter into heaven. Nobody can go in there with sin. But He says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I have a tie on. It's a blue tie. If I were to give this to you, it wouldn't be yours until you what? Until you reached out and received it. I took it off and I just gave it to you. It'd be yours. If the same with this Bible. If I were to reach out to say, here's a songbook. Would you like this songbook? He reached out and he received it. Now if I stood here and I said, "Here, take the songbook," and he just stood there and looked at it, it wouldn't be his until he did what? Until he received it. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You say, "Well, how do I do that, Pastor?" The Bible says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God did raise Him from the dead," because He didn't stay on the cross. 3 days later, He rose. He's alive. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now to listen to your prayer for salvation. He said, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God did raise Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You don't pray to me. You don't pray to some statue. You don't pray to anybody in this world. You can go directly to God. We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that Holy Spirit will take your prayer, and He'll hear your prayer, and the blood of Jesus Christ can be applied to every sin you've ever committed. He said, "Well, would He take me?" Well, He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Anybody. Didn't say the rich or the poor or the no good or up. Say whosoever. We are all whosoever's here today. Every one of us. Everyone in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave. Come. Come with us. Come get saved. Maybe you are saved, but you've never come on board and joined this church. The Bible says they that gladly received His word were baptized and added to the church. "Well, I don't believe in organized religion. This is not organized religion as you would think. This is an independent Baptist church. Our headquarters is in heaven. Amen. And God will bless you when you come. Come with us. Come join with this church. You've been praying about it. And follow God and follow His will, because we're on our way to the promised land. And I wouldn't want to do one thing in this life of disobeying God's word when I meet Him face to face. I want to do everything He tells me to do in the Word of God. Can we pray together? Every head bowed and every eye closed.